burn the boats. For me, there was no turning back. I had the last $1,300 to my name. I was thousands of dollars in debt, so I couldn't just charge card my way out of this journey I was on. The absence of a plan B is the best plan.
83% of Americans identify as not very happy, which can hold you back and negatively affect your relationships and your business. On this podcast, we discuss the proven steps to happiness so you can restore balance and rekindle your joy.
Welcome to another episode of How to Be Happier for Entrepreneurs. Today is a beautiful day, and I hope you guys are having a beautiful day. We have, as always, a really, really cool episode packed for us today. Welcome, Dan, to the show. How are you, my friend?
Hey, Brad. I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
So as you can tell, if you can see the title, from park benches to pioneering a sports nutrition brand. So Dan has quite an interesting story about living on a park bench for a part of his life. And we're going to dive into that and dive into his brand and just talk about some overall happiness. So let's jump right in. Dan, how did your experiences of hardship, including those nights of sleeping on park benches, influence your entrepreneurial journey and the founding of Runway?
Well, I believe it gave me the strength to kind of always stay positive. 2017 was the year that I spent some nights sleeping on park benches and really, really grinding. It was probably the brokest I've ever been. Yeah, it helped me get strong because during those times, I never felt sorry for myself. I never was like, oh my God, this is so bad, or I'm such a loser. I knew in my heart that I was chasing my dream. I was doing what made me happy. And at the time, that was being a personal trainer at a gym I really respect and respected. So I was doing what I wanted to do. I know I was making steps moving forward, and I was doing the best with what I had. And I was really focused on the future, just betting it all on myself. And I think looking back, I'm able to draw strength from that, Brad. There's some days where maybe I'm cushy or I'm lazy. And I think back to when I had almost nothing, and that was the most powerful time of my life. So I'm able to draw inspiration from it.
That's interesting, man, to have that positive energy while you're sleeping on a park bench, always believing in yourself. Can we roll back a little bit? And how did you get there? What happened in your life to get you to this place of sleeping outside?
Yeah, I'm going to try to do my best to sum it up, Brad. You know, I get a little scatterbrained, so dial me in if I get off on a tangent. But in 2016, I got a text message while I was at work. I was living in Chicago. I was doing phone sales for a logistics company. And I got a text message from my ex-girlfriend and basically said, I'm moving back to Connecticut. You can figure it out. And I was like, okay, I just got dumped through text message. Let's figure this out, as she said. We were 7 days away from moving into a new apartment in Chicago. She canceled that lease. So I had 7 days, again, to figure it out. And I've never lived solo. I was either in my mama's house, I was a late bloomer, or I had a roommate. So I never had to go through the process of lease and paperwork, and it just freaked me out. Anyways, I hit the panic button. My income was skewed. I didn't realize what I was making because of insurance deductions. Anyways, hit the panic button. I went back home to Connecticut as well. We didn't live together in Connecticut. We did part ways. Spent about 4 months in Connecticut at a friend's house, had a little part-time job, scraping by, and I was just super depressed. I felt like a loser, like, what am I doing here? And that was when I was going through getting certified to be a personal trainer. I knew that's what I wanted to do. And the only gym that I really wanted to work at was Equinox. And in Connecticut, Equinox is, it's in Greenwich and I believe Darien, and those were not close to where I was living. Those neighborhoods are just way out of my price range. So it wasn't realistic for me to even think about getting a job at Equinox in Connecticut, but I knew Chicago. I had a couple friends there, and I asked someone if I could just stay at their place, crash on their couch for like 2 months, and then I'll start paying rent, but I need 2 month runway. Ha, no pun intended. So yeah, he accepted. And then what I did, I saved up $1,300, which was a ton of money for me then, like having nothing. Rented a car and drove to Chicago overnight. And I had to make sure I got there fast. It's about a 16, 17 hour ride. I couldn't afford to keep this SUV another night, or else it would have really broken into my savings. So I had to get there overnight, got there, did a couple interviews. I didn't have any job lined up. One of the interviews was at Equinox. I failed it. I realized what I did wrong. I was a little bit aggressive. And I called them and I said, hey, I know what I did wrong. Can you please give me another chance? I think I got what it takes. And luckily enough, they gave me another chance and I got the job.
Wow. Good on you for doing that, man. That's a big step.
Yeah. I tend to ruminate a lot. I recently did a retreat that kind of helped me with all that, but it just festered in my brain that I can't believe I blew this opportunity. And I have no problem admitting to failure. I think that might be one of my superpowers, is just I'm not really scared to fail and I don't give an SHIT, to be frank, because I always know I'll learn from it and I'll come out better. So yeah, got the extra chance, got hired, and boom, now I got my dream job. So while working there, I was living, if anyone's familiar with Chicago, I worked at Lincoln Park. I was living in Rogers Park. It's a heavy commute. You have walk, you have bus, you have train, you have walk again. So commutes were long, days were long, wasn't making a ton of money. So I had to grind and hustle elsewhere. So I had a meal prep client that was really fun. I would go to his high rise and cook and meal prep, label food, weigh it, all that jazz. And then I also had a job working the door at a bar. And I say work the door because I'm not a bouncer. I'm way too friendly and gentle for that. But I worked the door. I checked IDs. And occasionally, if someone's too drunk, I didn't let them in. Anyways, it was those nights that kind of forced me to hit Lincoln Park benches. I'd get out of work.
You just didn't have the money to afford rent?
No. So I had a place to stay. I didn't have the money to Uber home.
Oh my Lord. Wow.
So when you get out of work at 1, 2, 3 a.m., only the blue line in Chicago runs. The blue line doesn't go to Rogers Park. The red and the brown line do. They weren't running at that time, and I didn't have money to pay for an Uber. So what I would do is I would walk down Clark Street to Lincoln Park. I'd crash on a bench for like 2-3 hours, whatever nap I could get in. Equinox opened at 5 a.m. I'd go in Equinox and I'd crash in the break room on the couch.
Oh my gosh, wow.
Yeah. And I didn't realize that like that may be embarrassing to some until I said it. And someone's like, why are you here so early, bro? You don't even have any clients right now. I'm like, yeah, I had work last night. I was crashing out there. They're like, you slept on a park bench? I'm like, yeah, what's the big deal? Dude, that's what bums do. And I'm like, oh my God, that's what bums do. But again, I was so positive back then that it didn't hurt me. It didn't bother me whatsoever.
Yeah, you were just like, I'm going to do whatever I got to do to get to where I want to go. So you mentioned this retreat, Dan. What was the big breakthrough you had in this retreat?
So the big breakthrough at the retreat was realizing that I hold a lot of shame for where I come from and just maybe my past actions. Growing up, I grew up in a small city. It's not really a town. It's a city in Connecticut called Waterbury. Growing up, life was great. Like family life is great. I have tons of cousins, but I was always very easily influenced. It really struck me in my heart as I got older and looked back. There's a movie called Faking the Funk. I was faking the funk, man. I was not being true to myself. Dan is a geek. I'm a nerd. I like video games and I like the nerdy ones like Final Fantasy, Legend of Zelda, Mass Effect, Elden Ring is the greatest of all time. Anyways, I'm getting lost yet. So that's my heart. I wasn't like super athletic. I played sports growing up, but never at like a high school level. So I didn't really fit in with the athletes. I like working out and I like going to the gym and like playing outside, riding my bike. But I was, again, never super athletic. And I was just above the cool status to hang out with like the gamers and like the nerds. So I was always like in this weird influx of where do I fit in? And I ended up finding myself hanging out with people from bad neighborhoods and places that are not Dan. I grew up in a pretty nice neighborhood and I was hanging out with kids that I shouldn't have been hanging out with. I was dressing a certain way, talking a certain way. And it's very embarrassing to look back at now. But as I got older, I like held this resentment towards where I'm from and my high school and not realizing I was just a product of the environment. And I was just holding grudges. Oh my God, I can't believe they forced me to act that way. I can't believe anything I wanted to do was deemed uncool. And then I formed, or what would the word be, like reformed, basically just fit the mold. And that was a big awakening. And it took a lot off my chest. It allowed me to apologize to my mom really nicely.
What were you apologizing for?
Just being ungrateful, being a problem child.
So Dan, what were mom and dad like in their relationship?
Parents got divorced when I was 4. So dad, not really too present growing up. My mom was forced to move in with my grandma. So at age 4, me and my mom were sharing a twin bed in my grandmother's bedroom.
Wow.
Growing up in a house with other family members, it was almost like a hostel for the family I grew up in. And my mom was very protective, rightfully so. So when I was 4, I could still vividly remember this. We got a phone call, and I remember my mom in the kitchen. She takes the call, she hangs it up, and she leans over the microwave and starts crying.
Oh.
I didn't get the truth to this story until I was in my 20s. What ended up happening is someone called the house and said, if Dan doesn't pay, Dan is my dad, I'm a junior. So if Dan doesn't pay me, I'm gonna kill you and your son.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, my dad was a biker, a drug dealer, and an addict. And apparently he was getting high on his own supply. And he owed some bad people money. So within the snap of a finger, one of my uncles picks us up and drives us to my grandmother's house, and we never looked back. So growing up, when my parents were married, my mom didn't have to work. My dad had a good job and sold drugs. So now my parents are divorced. My mom has a son. She's only 24 years old. She's still a baby. I look back too, and I'm like, geez, Louise. Like,
wow.
My mom was a child, already divorced, already back home living. I love her, and it's like, geez, Louise, she's so tough. But that was that, man. He was gone, went to jail, and probably the best thing for him. So
wow.
Grew up at home with my mom, what I was getting at, this is why my mom was so protective. Our lives were threatened. So she was very protective of me growing up. My friends used to say I had a ball and chain around my ankle. I couldn't stay out late. I couldn't drive with the older kids. And that kind of, were you going to ask, son?
No, I was just going to say, man, there's so much here to unpack. You're saying that I think if I heard you right, your biggest breakthrough in this retreat was that you never fit in and that you weren't grateful and that you regret the way that you behaved hanging out with these kids. And I don't know what the retreat you went to, and I'm not here to slam it, but if you would have had this conversation with me, here's how it would have gone a lot differently. Dan, when your father is a drug dealer and an addict, it means he doesn't feel enough, he doesn't feel worthy, or he wouldn't be doing those things. When you're 4 years old and your dad disappears, even though you had this great mom, what do you think that little boy is saying about himself? How is the 4-year-old, 5-year-old, 6-year-old Dan making sense that his dad's not around? Because you don't have the logic to say, Dad's not making the best decisions, and so this has nothing to do with me. He went to prison. What do you think you're saying about yourself?
Probably the same thing he was telling himself. I'm not worthy. I'm unlovable.
Yes.
I effed things up.
Yes.
Just bad things.
Yes. And children only misbehave, and you said you regret the way you behaved, and you weren't grateful, and you hung out with the wrong crowd. Kids only misbehave for one reason and one reason only. They lack connection with a parent. You had no connection with your dad. So this is what happened to my daughter a couple of years ago when she was kind of misbehaving. She lacks connection with her mom, and so therefore she has to peer connect. So she connects with her peers. You have to get connection from somewhere. So that's what you were doing. You were filling the void. Likely, I'm not a fortune teller here, but I think I'm pretty right here, is that you lack connection with your father, so you were finding it in other ways. So I would just ask you on this healing journey that we're all going through our entire lives is to look at little Dan as not I'm upset that I was grateful, but look at him with a ton of compassion. Think about Dan as a 4-year-old. And I would urge you to get a picture of yourself. And my friend Mark Mincola says, every time you look at that picture, think of the two words, two thoughts, innocence and deservedness. You deserve more. You didn't deserve a father who went to jail because he was a drug dealer and caused people to threaten your life and your mom's life. Dude, that's so hard. You should have so much compassion. And now, as we transition to the second part of this podcast, is you should be so proud of yourself. Like a lot of people in your situation, they would have repeated the same thing and been a drug dealer and addict or been in jail. You've done a completely different path, and now you're helping other people, and it's just a real blessing. But I would just urge you to have compassion for that little boy, because life was not easy for him.
Yeah, I've been working on it a lot. I've been working on it. I have to not beat myself up, understand everyone's trajectory is different. I'm where I am, and it's a blessing, and I'm further ahead now than I ever imagined I would be in life. My dream growing up was to have just a ranch house in Florida with a bean-shaped pool. And I think that's pretty attainable for me right now. I don't have it, but I think it's attainable. So yeah, I'll do better, Brad.
You don't need to do better. You just need to love yourself more. That's it. When you realize that everything in your life has likely happened as a result of this broken family and this, again, your dad tried to do the best he could. He had his own set of issues, right? So I'm not casting blame on your dad. He was a hurt soul, right? So no, it's not so much about you doing better, because I think you're doing some amazing stuff. You need to look back at that little boy with a lot of compassion and have compassion for the adult you are, because that little boy's still inside of you. And you're doing the work, which I really commend you and I'm proud of. But just the more compassion, the more love. So tell us now, kind of, you're on the obviously a completely different path. You've got this company called Runway. Yeah. It's a supplement business, which most supplements people start supplements to better people's lives. So tell us about that journey.
Yeah. So the name of the brand is Runway, R-N-W-Y. RNWY.life is the website. And how I came about this was I've always been an avid supplement taker, gym bro, as I like to say or describe myself. And then I got to spend about 6 years at a really good supplement company working there. I had a great mentor. I reported directly to the CEO, who was also one of my clients when I was at the gym personal training. That's how we grew that relationship. So I learned a lot about like the industry and supplements from the inside out. And then this company was acquired in 2022 and the bigger company came in and some of the culture got a little shook up. So I parted ways and I just took a few months to figure things out. During those few months, a dear friend of mine, my old colleague, also left. We were working together to figure things out. So we connected around the same time that I ended up reaching out to my mentor, the previous CEO of this company. And I said, hey, I want to go back to being your apprentice. And he said, sure, come out to LA. We'll talk. I flew out to LA and he's like, well, what's your brand? What's your product? And I was just blown away. And he's like, yeah, you want to be my apprentice? It's going to be next level. Like, you're going to start a brand. I'm like, whoa. So I flew back to Denver, came out with a paper formula, flew back out with my partner, Cam, the gentleman I previously referenced. We pitched this idea to him on a 4-hour walk on Santa Monica Boulevard. And he asked a lot of questions and sorted us out, dialed us in. And that's how we came up with Runway. Was we found what we think is a white space in the running community. And we're all runners. Myself, I'm a recreational runner. Our mentor, my mentor is a runner. And my co-founder, my partner, Cam, is a legit runner, like qualified for Boston. But when you walk into a running store, you just see things marketed to runners. It's mostly in the form of goos and gels, which we consider race day products. They're like use case scenarios. And we're like, well, let's see, maybe they're taking other supplements. So we held about, I don't know, 60, 80 phone calls / Google surveys. I don't want to call them interviews. They're just phone calls, conversations. And what we found was runners are taking supplements, but there's no like brand loyalty. So maybe they're taking Vital Proteins collagen. Maybe they're taking Liquid IV for their electrolytes. Maybe they're taking XYZ protein shake. Anyways, there's not a single brand housing all of these runners. And it's the number one most participated activity in the country, possibly the world. Easiest to enter. You just need a body and shoes, God willing. So we're like, I think we're onto something here. Let's offer a holistic approach for runners and really serve their needs. And through these conversations, we had a couple of emotional questions along with like, what's your nutrition? What's your training? What's your best time? Yada, 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 just general running stuff. But the emotional question was, what's your biggest fear about running? And it was actually an Olympian who said this. And she's like, my biggest fear is not being able to run anymore. And like our eyes reservoired up. It was like, oh my gosh, this is so, so powerful. This is what it means to people. So our first product under Runway is called Foundation. It's meant to give you a strong foundation to help you keep running, keep doing what you love is what we say. Our taglines fuel your journey. And yeah, it's got joint support benefits, hydration benefits, natural energy coming from B vitamins and L-carnitine, even some immunity support coming from zinc, magnesium, D3, and vitamin C. And that's our first product right now called Foundation. Take it daily. We suggest first thing in the morning.
And Dan, is this like your full-time thing? Do you spend all day doing this or are you still in the training world?
No. So I still do this. I tried taking a couple of clients in 2022 during inception. And once we launched or got close to launch last September, I just wasn't giving my client the attention she deserved that she was paying for. So I just cut it off. This is my full-time overtime gig. I spent 5 hours on Saturday at a CrossFit gym serving up High Rocks athletes.
Where's your biggest source of sales?
Right now, it's our website. So we're only direct to consumer, Amazon, our website. And I guess I can announce it here. We'll be on the feed. Boom. They placed the PO. That's our first outside retailer other than ourselves.
What does that mean? You'll be on the feed.
It's a website called thefeed.com and they showcase all supplement brands, especially new and upcoming brands. So by being on that website, we're going to be side by side with some of the biggest players in the supplement game. So it's really exciting for us.
Have you thought about going on Shark Tank?
No. So we won't do Shark Tank because I'm part of a venture studio. So I'm underneath an umbrella. We have shared services. So we have a creative team and innovation team. We do our own manufacturing, but we're internally funded. So the gentleman that I referenced a couple times, my mentor, my old training client, he funds us. So he had a pretty big exit at his previous company, and now he's building a good handful of companies right now.
So do you feel like you're living your dream every day?
Yeah. And this is funny. Great question, because it loops back to me being a nerd. I'm literally like the main character in a video game. So I have my main mission, which is grow runway. How do you grow runway? Well, we have awareness, we have sales, innovation, all that jazz. But then there's side quests. So I also have to figure out email marketing. I also have to seed product. I also have to do tons of events. I have to train. I have an intern who's my prodigy and I want to get her on salary so bad. I love this girl. So I have to make sure she's trained and she has like my values. So it's just like a video game. It's just like playing Final Fantasy. You have your main mission. You have your side quests. I have to farm. And by farm, I mean gather data. I have to constantly look at my Amazon Seller Central, see what ads are working, see what's converting. I have to see who's hot, what runners are cool, what app. I think I'm extremely blessed. I never dreamed I'd be here, and I'm here.
So just to highlight kind of from a park bench 7 years ago, sleeping on a park bench because you didn't have enough money to Uber home to your apartment, to now building a brand under probably a really wealthy guy that it sounds like the sky's the limit. What advice can you give to those folks who are on that park bench or the proverbial park bench right now? What kind of hope and advice can you give that person to continue to follow their dream?
I hope I don't sound too cliche or like motivational speaker, but burn the boats. Like for me, there was no turning back. I had the last $1,300 to my name. I was thousands of dollars in debt. So I couldn't just charge card my way out of this journey I was on. I think the absence of a plan B is the best plan. Like you need to go all in. And I think that helped me out tremendously. Like when I was trying to be a personal trainer, I finally got there. It was a mega grind. I never looked back. I never had like, oh, let me apply to this salary sales job and just put it on the back burner. That was not even a thought. It was, no, you're going to keep doing this. If you're not growing your business in the gym, you're going to grow your meal prep clients. If you're not growing your meal prep clients, you're going to find group fitness classes in the park to host. Burn the bridges, for one. F a plan B. Just believe in yourself and go all in. And then I had a second one, but I got so fired up talking about burn the boat that I forgot it.
I'm going to try to help you out. What about your attitude through that hole? You talked about that a lot. I want to touch on that more. What was your attitude like through that hole up and down?
I was just positive the whole time. Like even if I got back to my condo that I was living at, the living situation was horrible. It was really, really bad staying there, but I was always positive. I always knew there was going to be light at the end of the tunnel. And I really believe in work karma in general, but I like to like, I have a subsector called work karma. It's like, do more than you're paid for, do more than you're asked for, do right by the customer or the person at the other end of the desk. And good things will happen. And if you keep doing that, it's like habit stacking. That's a buzz thing right now. Stack work karma. Do the right thing at work. Go above and beyond. Treat people good. Another big one is treat the janitor like the CEO. So when I met this mentor of mine, he was literally just a tall guy that was about to break in a squat rack. I didn't know who he was. I didn't know his name. I didn't know his title. Nothing. I was doing my job. And I didn't even try to get a sale out of him until our like fourth meeting. He blew me off for a couple free workouts. He interrupted another one of my workouts with someone I just pulled off the floor. I mean, the first four meetings with this guy, I was all over the place.
And now he's your mentor and is going to possibly change your life and maybe lots of other people's lives.
Yeah, he's already changed my life many times over. So I'm extremely grateful.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. How can people reach you? How can people buy the product?
So you could buy the product on Amazon or our website, rnwy.life. Use code BEHAPPY15. That's B as in boy, E as in elephant, H as in hat, A as in apple, P as in pug, P as in public, Y as in yesterday, 15. Say 15% off your orders on our website. We got free shipping. You could DM runway.life on Instagram to say, hey, I heard Dan, or my Instagram handle is Dan, the founder, and there's a period in between each word. Just DM me, DM Runway. I will get back to you. We only have two employees and an intern, so I am seeing the DMs. I am doing the Instagram engagement, so it's not going to slip through the cracks. You will reach me.
Awesome. I don't know if you get to take the self-love quiz. I think I sent it to you. Do you remember taking that, Dan?
No, you sent me a YouTube video to watch. I didn't get the quiz though.
Okay, so you should take this. And if you're at home and you've had these childhood, or if you haven't actually, and you just kind of want to see where you stand, just go to bradchandler.com/quiz. And it may be the first step in a journey that forever changes your life, because you can't change something without awareness. And I know up until 3 years ago, I had no awareness. I thought I had a lot of self-love and I thought my life was great. And since making that transformation and becoming aware, wow, has everything changed. So as you know, I'm on a mission to help 1 million people. So if you like this show, can you please rate it, review it, subscribe, share it, whatever you can do to help me promote this. I'd greatly appreciate it. Dan, thank you so much for joining us. That was great.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And until next time, remember, love heals all. Bye now.
Hit subscribe if you don't want to miss out on more life-changing content. And if you're struggling, you don't have to. Go to bradchandler.com/contact. There, you can join the Facebook community of like-minded entrepreneurs, and you'll see a button to schedule your freedom and happiness call. See you on the next episode.